welcome all to the May meeting of the Interpretations Committee. Scheduled to be a relatively short meeting today, just to discuss two technical topics. And we'll start straight away with discussion on Agenda Paper 2, payments relating to taxes other than income tax. And I'm going to pass over to Carlo to tee up the paper.
Thank you, Sue. Good afternoon, committee members. We will now move on to Agenda Paper 2, payments relating to taxes other than income tax that are outside the scope of IAS 12. The topic was discussed at the March meeting and is updated to consider any effect of the 2018 conceptual framework. This paper updates the staff analysis by considering, firstly, whether the committee should consider the new definition of an asset in analyzing the questions submitted. And secondly, whether applying the new definition changes the committee's previous conclusions. Paragraphs 2 and 3 summarize the last discussion that the payment gives rise to an asset as defined in the 2010 conceptual framework. IAS 8 is applied in developing an accounting policy for the recognition and measurement of the asset that results in information that is relevant and reliable. Paragraphs 6 to 10 present our analysis of whether the committee should consider the new definition of an asset. Paragraphs 11 to 17 present our analysis of whether applying the new definition changes the committee's previous conclusions. Based on our analysis, we think that the new definition of an asset in the 2018 conceptual framework does not change the committee's previous conclusions. I would like to draw your attention now to question 1 on page 6. And ask if you agree that the new definition of an asset in the 2018 conceptual framework does not change the committee's previous conclusions.
And thank you, Carla. Just before I hand over to the committee for comments and observations, I think when we suggested last time that we met that it would be a good idea to wait until we publish the new conceptual framework and sort of reanalyze the fact pattern to the new asset definition in the conceptual framework. At least from my side, I was thinking of that as being very sort of, not an administrative step, but a relatively simple step that we were taking. And I think it is when we look at the asset definition, subject to the comments that you make. But what struck us reading the paper is that this is actually a really, really important agenda decision in the sense that it's the first time any of us, the committee or the board or anybody else, has really had to pick up our literature and use it in the context of the new conceptual framework and the potential interaction between the definitions in the new conceptual framework and the existing literature is obviously a sort of a key new thing for us all to deal with. And so I think what we're planning to do today is to hear what the committee has to say about the paper in front of you. In particular, I will be interested in looking at whether we think it's clear enough how and why we ended up looking at the definition of an asset in the conceptual framework and helping us answer the question. And what we would then propose to do as a second step would be that, given the importance of this new question for all of us, that we'll sort of circle back to the board, update the board on the discussion that the Interpretation Committee has had, confirm with the board that the sort of way that we've analysed the interaction with the conceptual framework is how we all sort of envisaged it would work, and then we'll circle back to the committee again. So our suggestion would be that we wouldn't go ahead and publish the tentative agenda decision at the end of today's meeting, rather get to where the committee gets in its discussion and use that as a basis for a confirmation step with the board and then circle back to the committee. So hopefully that doesn't upset anybody, and you agree that's a sensible step given the importance of the new conceptual framework. So with that background, we'll go to Carlo's first question, which he's asked the committee on page 6. So question 1, which is in the first instance whether the committee agrees with the conclusion that the new definition of an asset doesn't change the previous discussion that the committee had on this question. Who'd like to go first? Andrew.
I'll jump in. I do agree with the staff conclusion. However, there's some analysis in the paper that made me pause a little and wonder whether we need to think a little bit more explicitly about what paragraph 11 of IAS 8 tells you to do.
So in this case, the conclusion is that there isn't a standard which deals specifically with the issue that we're looking at. Therefore, you go to the conceptual framework. And based on where the literature stands, that would say go to the previous conceptual framework unless you're adopting the 2018 one early. And that maybe has some implications for the tentative agenda decision that we'll come back to a bit later. But it's quite important because I think that when I go to paragraph 9, which talks about existing standards, it is true that these have been developed with reference to the old conceptual framework. However, there have been instances on some of the standards, particularly those developed more recently, where some may have argued that they might not be completely consistent with the old conceptual framework because it had become rather out of date. And so that then takes you through the gating question that if you go down paragraph 11 of ISA, paragraph A takes priority and says, if you've got a standard that deals with similar issues, go there. And our previous March 2011 agenda decision would then say, if you go to a standard, do everything that that standard tells you to do. And that would then say, do that even if it's not quite consistent with the framework. On the other hand, if you go past that and say, well, there isn't a standard for this, I go down to the conceptual framework and then I use the definitions that you're sitting in there. The other comment that I had was in relation to question one, was in paragraph 10b of the agenda paper, it talks about how you get into the conceptual framework and which bit you might use. I think, however, that if I look at paragraph 54f of ISA, which was introduced as part of the consequential amendments in the conceptual framework, that gives a pathway to where you go. And it comes back again to the question of do you early adopt a new framework or do you stick with the existing one?
Other comments? Looking for a show of somebody's hand? Young sir?
Yeah, actually I should say I agree with the staff analysis. And also I should say that I agree with the staff conclusion that the redefinition of an asset after a new framework does not change its previous conclusion. So, for that, I don't have any comment. I think everything is clear, and I was able to agree with the staff analysis and conclusion. However, besides the question one, I do have some comment on the other two areas. What I'm trying to say is that we hope to extend our discussion a little bit more and include two more areas in the agenda decision. The first one I want to say is about the liability claim. The agenda decision focuses only on the asset side. The asset side, I think, is not good enough. I think liability side is also very, very important. Especially in the situation where it is probable that the entity has no obligation for the disputed amount. In that situation, I think liability is very important. And also when I talk with other people, many people says that liability should be explained in the agenda decision along with the asset side. So that my first comment is that we have to say something about the liability. And my second comment is that we maybe have to say something about the recognition issue also. The staff currently concentrated only on the definition of an asset, not about the recognition. But if we include something about the recognition issue, then maybe we can make that decision more helpful for the people to understand this agenda. So that's about it. I want to add two more areas again. One is about the liability, and the other one is about the recognition. It is so noisy, so I cannot hear you well, but okay. I hope you understand what I said.
We can hear you.
Maybe
I'll just make a couple of observations on the two points that you raised, both of which are good questions, and not so much to give my view per se, but maybe to raise a couple of points that others coming in could then comment on. So firstly, on the liability question, it's From memory, that came up a little bit in the discussion last time, and there was a bit of debate about whether or not it was more or less confusing to bring that into the agenda decision, or whether we were better to focus in on the specific question, which was really whether or not this was an asset, given the two potential outcomes, and so I guess other views on that would be appreciated. On your point on recognition and measurement, I think it struck me when I was reading the agenda decision that my understanding of the staff analysis was that, in a sense, what they were saying was, in order to make this assessment of whether or not there was an asset or not, which is the sort of core question we were being asked, we weren't clearly in the scope of a particular standard, and that the best piece of guidance that we had to make the determination of whether there was an asset with this sort of question of different possible outcomes was probably the guidance in the conceptual framework, and that's sort of why we went there in order to determine whether there was something that met the definition of an asset. But then the idea then would be, and that maybe it's not coming through in the agenda decision, that once you've made that determination, you'd then look at our suite of standards to decide which set of recognition and measurement guidance might be the most relevant to help you to determine the appropriate accounting policy to account for that asset, if that was a conclusion you had reached. Is that fair? I'm looking at Joan and Paolo to see if that's a fair articulation. And I'm saying that, so if people agree or disagree, maybe they could build that into the comments that they follow up with. Thank you, Young Sue. We sort of don't get on to that second question, but I think almost by design, in a sense. Our views. I'm looking for hands. Everyone's shy? No? Bonnie?
So, yes, similar comments that I had when we spoke about this in the last meeting. In this, I would say, pure, simple example, I agree with where the staff has gotten to. I think there can be other facts and circumstances that may cause you to say, technically speaking, an asset. However, from a measurement perspective, there may be things that you would either not recognize the asset or recognize the asset and then impair the asset due to facts or circumstances that may be part of the specific situation. And because we don't talk about measurement, I think this is what the upstate was making. I think we're missing a little bit of a piece there. And so if we're going to keep it within this very narrow fact pattern, there are only two outcomes that could possibly result. I think we need to make that extremely clear that it's just the two outcomes, so it's all or nothing, in which case I think what the staff analysis has concluded is appropriate. Where there are other things that could impact the ability to get the refund back or the prepayment back, or if there could be further negotiations, then I think there needs to be an appreciation or understanding that there could be a different measurement conclusion for a particular situation.
And if it's helpful, Bonnie, just to reiterate, then I suppose both the narrowness of the fact pattern, I think we spent, you know, there's the first paragraph is quite long in trying to explain the background, the fact pattern that we were submitted and answering. And I don't know if it's helpful to your point, but almost in terms of at least at the minute, all we'd be saying, I suppose, as all the committee would be saying, is really saying, in the context of saying, do I think this is an asset versus a contingent asset, maybe versus an expense? We think, yes, it ticks the box that is an asset, but actually we wouldn't be going on and actually saying anything. Actually, first of all, about whether you'd recognize it and how you'd actually measure it. So I think some of the things that you mentioned, that if there were different, you know, relevant things going on and you might want to consider impairment or how you measure it, we at least wouldn't be saying in this agenda decision, we wouldn't be reaching any firm conclusion that you're absolutely, you know, recognizing it all or not recognizing any. We'd just be leaving that open to say people would be looking at ISA to develop an appropriate accounting policy, you know, for...
I think when you receive the draft agenda decision, I don't think you would... I don't know that you would appreciate that point that you just made, because I don't think it's clear.
Yeah.
And I think we need to add something to the
yeah.
to to the tentative agenda decision.
Yeah, that was sort of the point I was making. I think there's a distinction between making the decision of whether there's an asset and then a separate decision on what you then do about that.
Yes, I think that needs to be clear that we're only addressing the first question, not the second, and there could be, we're not addressing the second question on kind of the measurement because that wasn't the focus of the question itself.
Okay, thank you. Others? Tony?
So to answer the question specifically, I agree with the staff that looking at the revised conceptual framework doesn't change the conclusion that we reached previously. To pick up a couple of points about what we do with the agenda decision, and I think it says that management has assessed the obligation under IAS 37 and hasn't recognised the liability. I wonder if there's a danger of trying to get too much into it if we go beyond that. That's not really the question that we are addressing with the agenda decision. I think it's a given in the fact pattern. I agree with what Bonnie said, that at the moment the agenda decision is not clear. It's addressing the existence of an asset, not necessarily its recognition and measurement. And so a few more words, I think, would be helpful. I thought Andrew raised a couple of interesting points. So, certainly for the next couple of years, where would we have gone with this if we would have got to different conclusions under two conceptual frameworks? We didn't in this case, both conceptual frameworks lead you to the same answer. But I think there is an interesting question, and I'm not sure it's one for today, just about how we now deal with the intersection of a standard and whether that standard applies to similar items, and then if it doesn't, what do we do when there are two conceptual frameworks, one of which the amendments to IS8 don't take effect for another couple of years? So I think they are interesting questions.
Do you think it would be helpful, I'm not sure if the agenda decision is the appropriate place, and this is a genuine question too, to remind people that the way, if I remember correctly, looking at Mary and Joe, that the consequential amendments to update references to the conceptual framework works, you need to make a decision about whether you are, in the transition period, you have to make a decision about whether you're continuing to apply, you know, the set of literature reflecting the old conceptual framework, or whether you've made a decision to apply already the new conceptual framework, and that sort of then determines what hat you'll wear when you go through and answer your questions, and reminding people that that's not a pick and choose, that's a decision that you make, and then you then stand by and apply when your requirements, your requirements would help people.
If put another way, it's an all in or all out decision. Yeah. It's not a transaction by transaction or standard by standard determination.
So while we have looked at it with both hats on, because we need to think of both sets of preparers, an actual preparer, in fact, will either have one hat or the other, not both.
Well, we'll need to be careful because we've said that the board will start using the new conceptual framework on publication. So is the interpretations committee an extension of the board, or is it sort of a manifestation of practice issues that are emerging? And I think we can handle either way, just need to be clear.
I think we're trying to put ourselves in the... in the shoes, I think the staff said it somewhere, we're trying to put ourselves in the shoes of somebody interpreting our requirements, so some preparers will be in one set of shoes and some will be the other, and I think we need to analyse both.
We'll need to analyse both
to help
and be
both.
Clear what's the frame of the answer, or be clear that the answer will be the same as the case may be.
Maybe I'll just, on your point, Tony, take the opportunity if it makes sense. I'm not sure it's a point you raised, but I just thought it might be useful to say as well that I think that So let's say I'm a company and I've decided that I'm going to, you know, early adopt in terms of anywhere that the requirements tell me to look at the framework, I'm going to decide even before 2020 to already, you know, think about the new framework, not the old. I think what I just wanted to highlight though is that to me doesn't automatically mean though that every time I come along and have an asset liability question, I'm going to jump and use the new definition. What I might say inappropriately, in some cases, and what I just wanted to highlight is something that I think, Andrew, you said is at least in thinking about this particular aspect of ISAID, of course, the first question as a company have to do is, of course, apply IFRS requirements as they're written. So if, for example, my question is about, do I have, for example, a liability that I should be thinking about in the scope of IS 37, I'm in the scope of IS 37 and I'm applying those requirements, which you know, includes the old definition of a liability, so I'm absolutely in there. I'm only in the ISAID hierarchy when I think there aren't specific requirements that apply to my transaction. And even then, to the point you raised, Andrew, I'm still, if I'm in the ISAID hierarchy, I'm first of all, according to paragraph 11 of ISAID, I'm first of all looking at whether there are any requirements that deal with similar related issues. And only if I think there's not and I say no to that, do I then, you know, potentially even go into the new framework.
Okay.
Martin?
Yeah, can you? Great. Principally I'm fine with the staff. There was only the question, I mean, we talked about the old and the new conceptual framework. But I'm not sure whether probably we also have further framework which were part while issuing other accounting standards. So I guess there are still older versions which are more or less influencing older or very old accounting standards. So I guess it's not right to speak about the old and the new conceptual framework, because also the old conceptual framework hasn't been adjusted and very old accounting standards has been issued based on another version of the conceptual framework. So I mean, I'm not very technically, but from the perspective of a carer, this is really very confusing, and I guess it's very hard to understand for the outside. I mean, you mentioned something in that way, but I guess it needs a lot of, say, training or what else to understand what is really going to happen there.
Yeah, which was why I think it's a good idea we check with the board and make sure we think we're clear enough where we're sending people to in terms of signposting. So I agree, it's quite complicated at the moment. Reinhardt?
My comments are similar to the comments that others made. I certainly agree that the asset meets the definition or the definition of an asset in the new conceptual framework, but as others have indicated, I likewise have concerns about the wording of the agenda decision, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, so to speak, but I found it confusing in terms of the distinction between recognition and measurement, because originally I thought we were going to cover both, whereas now, you know, I hear that our intent is really to focus only on the recognition. And then to refer people to ISA to determine how to measure, you know, based on that, based on the comments others have made, my concern is similar. If we conclude that it meets the definition of an asset under the new conceptual framework, then if you go to ISA to determine measurement, you have to determine whether there's any analogous standard has a similar definition to the new definition of the new conceptual framework to determine how to measure. And so I'm very concerned that this agenda decision will be very confusing, because I'm concerned that people won't know where to look to determine measurement. And it will, so that consequently this agenda decision will increase diversity as opposed to addressing diversity.
Okay. Bertrand?
I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion on that. There were a lot of comments on the conceptual framework, but I think as a practitioner, I would say that the conclusion and the way it was reached seems fine to me, and I wouldn't see any other conclusion as an asset, to account for an asset as being a proper conclusion in this standard, in this instance, sorry. And so I think the way effectively the staff did the analysis, first elaborating on the fact that it's not a contingent asset in IAS 37, and obviously that there is no existing standards that encompass such a situation. So you cannot really assess whether you have an asset to account for or not using a specific standard, and then effectively at the end, ultimately, you do based on IAS 8 an analysis based on the definitions in the conceptual framework, and whether the old wording of the conceptual framework or the new, I think the conclusion as it is an asset is the proper conclusion. Obviously, I totally acknowledge the relevance of Bonnie's comments on the fact that it's effectively this based on day one, let's say, and then once you have concluded that you have an asset, that maybe the second conclusion would be you have to impair the asset. But I don't see that in terms of recognition. I don't see any issue in having reached such a conclusion the way it was effectively reached. And then in terms of what happens right after having recognized the asset is another question, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Bertrand. Next, I'm going to go to Bruce and then Bob, so you can put your hand down. I'll go to you next.
Bruce. Thanks, all. Just a question about this. I mean, I agree with the staff doctor, I agree with the answer on it. I guess my only concern is that given the potential for confusion, do we feel we need to comment on the new conceptual framework? I mean, given this is not something that's necessarily effective now, do we really feel that that's adding to our current agenda decision? It's got to go out in terms of what's submitted to us? Or do we feel we kind of, are we, I don't want to say overstepping because I don't think that's the word, but are we extending the scope of what we need to do at this stage, which could have unintended consequences? So yeah, I mean, just kind of coming by it.
That's an interesting point, and we actually had a bit of a discussion about that with the staff internally on that, whether we could distill it down to just say it meets the definition of an asset, sort of full stop, without getting into the further detail, because is it really adding too much given there is no difference anyway? So maybe others have views on that. Bob?
Thanks, Sue. I agree with the staff analysis and the fact that the new conceptual framework does not change the conclusion. I also agree with many of the points that have been made, and I won't repeat those. In agreement with the points made about measurement. Just two new points. Somebody pointed out the aspect of, or touching upon the liability. I don't think the fact that there is or is not a liability here affects whether we have an asset or not. The other thing I wanted to point on, and sorry, I'm getting a bad echo on my side.
We can hear you fine.
Is the agenda decision indicates that this is not in any other standard, and I wondered whether it could be a financial asset. For example, and the facts don't touch upon this, if this was refundable at any time, could then that be a financial asset? And I know we can't, in an agenda decision, go through every single standard, but I wondered if that was a point that should be touched on.
Wondered whether we should soften it to that it may not be within the scope. I think the challenge for me on the financial asset side, Bob, would be that I think typically, but you're right, we don't know the facts of every possible case. It probably wouldn't be contractual. which for me would be a potential barrier, given our sort of specific definitions of a financial instrument. You might still conclude that's your best literature to give you guidance, but in terms of being specifically within scope, I think typically it wouldn't be contractual, but never say never.
Yeah, so as a minimum we could certainly, and I think we were already thinking that maybe we should soften anything we say about it to say it may not be within the scope of the standard as opposed to being as black and white to say it is not.
Now I'm going to people on the phones. John, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Just wait a second, we'll see if we can we'll see if we can adjust the volume of it. Try again.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I agree with the inclusion under under both the old framework and the new framework. I suppose I do agree a bit with Bruce's comment, but I'm not sure we need, I mean, I think we can avoid the issue of confusion about the interaction of the old framework and the new framework in IFA. I actually not referring to the new framework. I don't know that we need to answer the question about the new framework because, I mean, if the effective date on IFA, we're referring to IFA and the effective date for that is 2020, so I think we can answer the question under the existing literature. I do think that the question about the interaction, which others have referred to, but I'm not sure we really need to resolve that to finalise this agenda decision. I agree with the comment about softening the reference to other literature. I mean, I don't think there is any direct literature that applies to this particular aspect, but I, you know, some may decide that the most appropriate literature is the financial instrument literature, so I think we should leave that kind of a bit more open as proposed. But other than that, I would say we're finalising the agenda decision. I think you get an apple irrespective of what literature you apply. I think there's an apple there.
Okay, thanks, John. John, can I ask you a question and follow up to your comment? So you questioned whether it was necessary to worry about the interaction between the conceptual framework and the literature, which is a fair question. I guess the question for you is that I think we all understand how in the agenda decision we got to the second paragraph, which is the fact that we decided that we needed to go to the conceptual framework to check the definition of an asset in order to reach the conclusions here on the basis that this question of the definition of an asset and the two outcomes was sort of best addressed in the conceptual framework. Do you think there's a risk if we don't have that in the agenda decision that people may, in a sense, too readily go straight to the conceptual framework to answer the question? Because I guess that's the thing I personally have been mulling a little bit looking at the agenda decision.
I don't think we should imply that they would have to go there and that they would not potentially find alternative literature. But I think we can answer the question on an assumption that somebody that an entity does not believe there's appropriate literature dealing with similar matters and we can answer it. I would be happy to answer it in the context of the conceptual framework without implying that somebody would have to go to framework.
Okay, thank you, that's helpful. Okay, I'll try others on the phone to see if they've got anything they want to add. So, Mikhail?
Yes, I agree very much with Bertrand and John's argument here. I mean, if the outcome is the only reasonable outcome in this specific question, and I think that it's no need to delay the response on this question, even if the issue about which conceptual framework to apply. But that is another question, and that could be taken as a separate discussion in that case. So I don't see why it should delay this response.
Okay, thank you. Sandy?
I agree with the definition that it meets the definition of an asset, though I share Reinhardt's concern I think there's going to be confusion about recognition and measurement. So Bonnie made the comment with respect to making it clear that it doesn't include measurement of the asset or the liability. I guess it's something that needs to be done. As it relates to the new conceptual framework, I guess I agree with some of the comments that have been made, but my question is, when we talk about referring to it and this being the first time it's being applied and how we refer to it here, I guess my question is, will others who are then seeking to apply it know to look to this, to where we may discuss it, or is your comment in this going to the board that you might make how this is done more explicit? I guess I'm not sure that people will know to go to here and look at this and see what was discussed related to the application of the new conceptual framework. It's just really a matter of location for me. Anyway, those are my comments.
Okay, thanks. And on your last point, I don't think we were thinking that we could rely on this agenda decision or should rely on the agenda decision to sort of be the how-to guide of how to deal with the new conceptual framework. Rather, we wanted to make sure that we didn't end up putting anything in the agenda decision that the board might not actually agree with, because it's important. But I think as a separate matter, we're thinking about what educational material we might need to produce to help people applying the new conceptual framework. And this might be an interesting example to think about in the context of developing that educational material, but not to use the agenda decision per se for that education.
Okay.
Tom, did you have any comments? Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I would like to support the members who raised concerns about recognition and measurement. For the measurement, I would like to refer to my comments during the March meeting, and I also would like to refer to the request from ESMA, which asked for further clarification on the subsequent measurement. I would support something in the decision. Thank you.
Sorry, I was just going to, because I know it has and you're absolutely the right tone to say that in the request that we got from ESMA on this, that the two aspects were addressed. We were asked about recognition and measurement as well. I think at least just from the staff's perspective, the reason that we were suggesting, I suppose writing lots on the agenda decision on this is that we felt that what happens in the context of recognition and measurement would be very much a sort of facts and circumstances. So because we are saying this transaction doesn't directly fit, there aren't any direct specific requirements in the literature that apply to it. That's why we were saying we thought in this case entities would be in the ISA hierarchy, and then without knowing more of the ins and outs of the exact facts and circumstances, how exactly do things happen with this, with maybe the particular tax authority, what are the exact terms and conditions around, the payment and the liability, etc. And so, at least from our perspective, we felt there wasn't anything helpful we could add in that other than telling people that, they'd be in ISA and they'd be looking to come up with an appropriate kind of policy.
Okay.
So I think whether it's the new or the old conceptual framework, I think there's an interesting point about the order in which you look at things, and it all may be somewhat academic. It's great to have. So maybe something that you do or don't want to get into, but when I read the staff analysis about IS 38 and the conceptual framework, the way I read that was that you're completely out of 38 because it doesn't deal with similar issues. Well, then if I look at the agenda decision, it's more like there's no standard which deals with the definition of the asset, so it's a conceptual framework. But that doesn't mean they don't go back up the hierarchy and look at the recognition measurement. If that's what we need to see, I think that's quite an important
point. It's a two-step point.
Yes. So you're not just in the conceptual framework forever.
Yeah.
Once you get into it, you go back.
I think that would be important to clarify.
But I'm going to keep the stuff announced in the same.
Andrew.
I must confess, Mike must indicate my notes then. Even though it's the other side of the room. I think I would echo the same point, that on the question of measurements, I think that we could address that in quite a straightforward way by using the framework to recognize the asset and then say that having concluded that there is an asset, then you go back through the guidance again to determine how to measure that asset. And I don't think we necessarily need to say very much more than that, because that then points you around the circle. On the question of the kind of asset it is, my assumption, because it was a tax-related item, was that this was legal rather than contractual. And I think it might in fact be helpful for us to say in the agenda decision that typically something related to tax arises from legal requirements and not contractual, and consequently, if it's legal, the financial standards don't apply. And the Interpretations Committee analysed this case on the assumption it's a legal asset rather than a contractual one. Because that takes you away from the need to go into the financial instrument standards. On the question of the two conceptual frameworks, I'm perhaps on slightly the other side of the fence from some. I would like to keep both. And partly it's because I think that would future-proof the agenda decision. And so it means that it's going to be irrelevant for more than about 18 months. The other is that it signposts and helps people during this transition period if we get some fairly good and concise wording on how to guide people through the decision tree we need to go through.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. That's helpful. So, I think what we should... My preference is still for us to circle back to the board, just given the importance of the interaction with the new conceptual framework, to make sure we don't inadvertently have any misstep. Having said that, I think we can keep at the back of our minds, open the idea of revisiting when we circle back to the committee again, whether or not we can simplify the comments on the two conceptual frameworks or not, although to Andrew's point, it might be an education opportunity as well, so I think we should also be thinking about that. We can also then take the opportunity when we come back to the committee to, I think, tidy up this point in terms of making the distinction between what we would be using the frameworks for, to look at the definition of an asset potentially for recognition, and making the point that there's a question of the measurement aspects where you come back and look at the literature again, the two-step point. Michael was reminding us of most recently, so we can do some tidy up, but I think rather than doing that on the fly, we can do that when we come back to the committee again. And I think maybe this point about it being legal rather than contractual just helps us make another point for why we might need to go to the conceptual framework, because it's not in scope of the agenda, which could be helpful as well. Any other points I missed, Patrick? Or John or Carla? Is that the main points? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, very helpful discussion from the committee, so thank you. We'll build that feedback into the discussion that we have with the board before we bring it back to the committee again. So thank you for that, and apologies it wasn't quite such a simple sort of sanity check as we had perhaps envisaged last time, but probably makes it even more important that we didn't stop and think about it.